small businesses give back to charities and whatnot all the time. And just a simple thank you and a promotion gets them business that might take them into the next quarter. And I think that that's incredibly undervalued. Again, the possibilities are endless with being able to support for-profit organizations. But two, as I said, the nonprofit sector alone being successful helps for-profit agencies because now they are existing in an economy that's thriving, which they need in order to be successful.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Kayla White. She is the executive director of the Southeast Texas Nonprofit Development Center. Don't ask me to say the acronym because I'll screw it up. And she is a Southeast Texas native with a business degree from Lamar University. She spent 15 years in nonprofit business development and finance. So she was the most liked person in the nonprofit. She was securing millions in grants and leading successful fundraising initiatives. She now serves as the executive director of the Nonprofit Development Center in Southeast Texas. See how I flipped that? It's just a different feel, just given keeping people on their toes. And it is the region's go-to resource for education, training, and consulting that strengthens nonprofits and ensures the continuity of essential community services. Welcome to the show, Kayla.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have this conversation. I know we're releasing this episode just a few weeks before registration closes for the 2025 the Southeast Texas Nonprofit Conference. I had been saying summit. I don't know why. And honestly, I don't know the difference between a summit and a conference, and maybe somebody could explain it to me. You seem like a smart individual, and so maybe you'll break that down for me, but I'm excited to be speaking there. It looks like a great, great event, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you haven't bought your ticket and you're listening right now, like, go out, sign up, like, register. We're going to have the link in the show notes, so don't be feeling some FOMO when you look on Facebook and you see all of our happy faces at the event, and you're like, oh my gosh. Now my 2026 is shot because I didn't go to this. You don't want to be, don't be that person. So, and I think that's enough shaming for the top of the show. But tell me today, Kayla, what is on your mind?
Well, I mean, as I'm rooted in the nonprofit space, what's on my mind is sort of how nonprofit leaders are continuously asked to do more with fewer resources while community needs sort of continue to grow, right? And you mentioned the conference, and that's sort of the theme of our 2025 Southeast Texas Nonprofit Conference, which is exceeding the vision. These organizations continuously have to address unmet needs with fewer resources. They constantly have to reinvent themselves. And it's not just about meeting a mission statement, but constantly adapting and stretching beyond it, right? And here in Southeast Texas and everywhere else, we're constantly responding to unexpected crises like pandemics, and especially around here, disasters, social changes. And to exceed the vision, it really requires us to be courageous and creative and also to collaborate. And so that's sort of the theme of our conference, and what we've framed it around, is the idea that we constantly have to reinvent ourselves and be strategic and thoughtful in the nonprofit space.
Yeah, that's a tough thing, because there's so much, whether nonprofit or for profit, but I think sometimes the winds of change blow a little faster in nonprofits. Mostly because it feels like herding cats between like board members and volunteers, and then the people you serve, who, you know, sometimes is, you feel like you're forcing your service on them, which is always fun. It's like, I'm trying to help you, dadgummit. Help me help you. But I'm curious, you mentioned the mission often just is the same. There's that same heart, that same vision for a bigger, brighter future. But our methods need to change.
Yeah.
But I think that's a hard thing for a lot of people, especially founders and executive leaders, and maybe those who've been with this sort of cause for a while. Can you talk a bit about that conflict of like changing the methods, but leaving the mission intact.
Yeah. Community needs don't stay static. And so nonprofits can't either. It's important to think about being innovative where your programming is concerned, but you have to think about funding and outreach. And it's really important to stay relevant so that we can be connected to trust. And the one thing we always talk about in the nonprofit space is long-term sustainability, and building capacity and sustainability is more about raising dollars and funds. It's about developing leaders and strengthening governance and fostering partnerships, right? And The nonprofits, I think, that thrive are those that anticipate change rather than just react to it. And we focus on practical ways that we should always exceed our daily operations, thinking about board engagement, how to better use technology, diversifying revenue. We have to think about all of these things. We can't just focus on just one. And that's something nonprofits usually have a difficult time with, because they are sort of, they exist in what I like to call survival mode, where they can't think ahead. And that's something that we really like to focus on with our center, is making sure that they understand this is a business and you have to operate as such.
Right. I love the saying that nonprofit is just a tax status. It's not a growth strategy.
Yeah.
Because everything else is like a business, and you have people in an organization. You have two or more people with a shared goal trying to move forward. That's virtually anything. But I wonder if you can go back to what you're saying, that there are some nonprofits who seem to anticipate, not just react. But it sounds like, and from my observation, those would be the minority.
Yeah, they are. And
what do you think?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what do you think the prevailing wisdom is that captures so many nonprofits in that survival reactionary way? Because clearly, like, they see their own results and they know, like, well, this isn't really working well, or at least the way I hoped it would. But not everybody's making that shift. So what sort of thinking or narrative keeps these nonprofits stuck in that way of thinking?
Well, from the organizations that I work with, a lot of it has to do with limited resources. They have limited staff or volunteers. And so as a result, they stay in that same mindset. They're constantly looking for support. One thing we see in the nonprofit space is that one person wears many hats, and they have a hard time thinking about strategy, thinking about what we can do long term, because they can only focus on what's going to get us by day to day. And it just has to do with limited time and limited resources.
Do you think, I'm thinking how I phrase this, the nonprofits that have seen and experienced growth and have pulled ahead, you could say they too were at that same point, right? Or had the same resources. I don't know. Again, I don't know who said it. I want to start just taking credit for all these really cool sayings and make it like I said them. But everybody started at zero.
Yeah.
So why are some breaking through and others aren't, given they were wearing multiple hats? They were the chief everything officer. They had limited staff. They had unclear goals. They had limited time on their calendar because they were juggling so many different things. But there's something to be said, like there are nonprofits who are moving from that early struggle phase of survival into more of a thriving, fun phase, to borrow from the predictable success models, life cycle stages. What's the shift that's causing that breakthrough?
In my opinion, it's consistency. I think that the organizations that I work with that are the most consistent, and the ones that continue to apply for grants, even though they may have gotten a rejection, continue to stick with an event, even though it didn't have the outcome that they originally anticipated. I think the consistency of it and the continuation of and seeing things through is what makes people more successful. Because when they stop and they give up, one thing I always tell our members and the clients that I work with is if you don't ask, the answer is always no. And that's something that I think aligns with what I'm saying, is that if you stop just because it wasn't as successful as you thought it was going to be, and you don't maintain that level of consistency, even in your programming, even in your messaging, even in things as simple as your social media or your website, those things are so important. Because as nonprofits, you are a community organization, you're reliant on public trust. And the public only goes off of what they see. And if they don't see a level of consistency, then you tend to not get the level of support that you're ultimately looking for.
Right. That's really good. There's a saying that keeps bubbling up. I'm having to learn this personally and professionally, but consistency beats intensity.
Sure.
And I think, especially if you're wired more as a visionary, which, you know, most, if not all founders pretty much are, they're very good at the intensity. It takes some intensity to start a thing. It takes some intensity to launch a new program. It takes intensity to brainstorm a new event, but it takes consistency to make it successful.
100%.
So with those that are consistent, what are they doing to become and remain consistent? I just imagine that their tactics, their strategies show up a little differently. Like they have a different pattern about them, and maybe in the way that they're leveraging people or other resources. Have you started to spot any clear patterns there?
Yeah, I see, like, for example, the ones that are willing to collaborate with other nonprofits. I feel like nonprofits have this scarcity mindset, and they tend to look at other nonprofits as competitors, because they're all, especially in a small community like ours, where they're often competing over the same dollars, the same donors, the same event participants. But I think the ones that are successful are the ones that come together and collaborate, and they partner to create a greater impact. And they ultimately see that by them being successful, we're successful too, and vice versa. And then I think too, that promotes and encourages donors and supporters to then say, okay, well, if I can give to this one initiative and help both organizations, then yeah, I'm going to do that versus just putting all my eggs in one basket.
Yeah. What makes a great nonprofit collaboration? I'm glad you're bringing this up. I was just recently with a group of 20 nonprofit CEOs in the San Antonio area, and the issue of we're all coming together for this one initiative, but at the same time, I also recognize you're all my competitors. Right. And so what are you seeing that's making these collaborations really take off and work effectively? It sounds like overcoming the scarcity mindset is maybe like step one.
Step one.
But yeah, but what once you've gotten into like, hey, there's more where that came from, or an abundance mindset, how are these collaborations coming together and proving successful?
Well, they're identifying, for one, that they're probably addressing similar needs as the organizations that they ultimately, and that's where I think that competitive nature comes in, because we have so many organizations that are duplicating services, and this work is hard enough as it is. And I think to duplicate services, you're doing yourself and your community a disservice. And so I think, like with our center, one thing that we do, we're like a secondary service provider where we bring organizations together so that they can also get education and training, but also network with one another and understand. Because if you're in the nonprofit space, you have to understand, especially in a certain community, you have to understand who else is doing something in the same area or the same region that's either similar or in the same line as what you're doing. And then from there, once you get to know one another, and I think it's easier in a smaller community because you see each other more and things like that. And so it gives you that space to really collaborate and talk and learn what the others do and say, okay, well, I might be addressing this demographic and you might be addressing this other demographic, but we're ultimately have the same goal. Let's merge and share resources and develop a program or develop a service that we can do or that we can have to better meet the need. And I think that that is what is ultimately going to make the nonprofit sector more successful. Because again, there is this scarcity mindset. There is this idea that we're all in competition over the same dollars, and it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, most of us, we're wearing the same jersey. We're on the same team. We're after the same or similar things. And we could dive in deep as to other systemic things that pit nonprofits against each other, whether that's a grant application process or something else. But I have thought about this a lot, and I've not really explored this with anybody. So here's an exclusive. You mentioned nonprofits, you know, that maybe are serving a similar audience, a similar section or segment of the community, banding together. I imagine that can be hard to think about. Well, shouldn't we just have a single organization, depending on the size of the city, community, geography, whatever, but shouldn't we just have like one entity going after this cause? Because like we could have 10 organizations trying to serve the same population, and they're each running $100,000 in operating budget. If they came together, though, they'd be a $1 million organization that could, it would be a little like going a mile in one direction instead of a millimeter in 1,000. And I know that that's really hard because these passionate founders get really, and I'm not downplaying founders, and I'm a 2-time founder. I'm wired like a visionary. So please listeners don't hear me putting this down, but I can understand how it'd be tough when you feel called to a cause and you have a particular vision and you want to see it served in that particular way, and someone else is already doing it, trying to reconcile between do I do my own thing? Do I take my vision to these people? And what if they don't see it my way and I need to submit that and tailor it a little bit? What do you see, or what's been your experience over your career in seeing how those visions can start to complement? Because we could go from exceed the vision to battle of the visions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which sounds like a fun event.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something when a lot of times people will come to us or groups will come to us wanting to establish nonprofits. And that's the first thing that we advise them on is do your research. Because you don't want to spin your wheels. I mean, because this isn't easy. Again, this is a business. Mm-hmm. It's hard work and it's time consuming and it doesn't pay a lot, and if anything. And so to do your research and make sure you understand if what already exists in your community. So first and foremost, people who are wanting to get into the nonprofit space, do your research ahead of time and truly understand what exists in your community. Because just because you specifically don't see it, that doesn't mean it's not there, right? So that's right. First and foremost. Secondly, I think too, whenever, like to your point, that sometimes you have this idea and you see someone doing it similarly, but you really want to do it your own way, I do think it's important to figure out ways to connect with other, because then if you don't connect with these other agencies that are doing something similar, then you do get that competitive nature. You do get the battle of the nonprofit sort of going on. You having to battle over the same dollars. And I mean, I think we have to look at big picture. What's the outcome really going to be for you as a newer organization? Is that going to be productive for you? Is that going to be helpful for you? Probably not.
Yeah. A couple of things occur to me. Number one, I think we should have, it sounds like we have the Hunger Games style competition for nonprofits. Right. And we don't have to be ever in your favor. It does present a really difficult question that I think has to be posed to some of these nonprofits is, Are you in this to champion your vision or to serve this population?
Right.
And it that doesn't mean that your vision is unimportant or not valuable or not insightful. But you do have to, only one thing can be priority, right? The notion of the word priorities is a relatively new phenomenon. It's almost an oxymoron, right? Yeah. And I know that that's tough to hear, because you almost feel like you said, you don't get into nonprofit work to get rich.
Right.
Certainly, I am all for, like, people should be paid what they're worth and the value that they're bringing and all those things, but that's not your main motivator.
Right.
And so I think sometimes when you're not getting the financial compensation that maybe you would get if you were in a for-profit environment, that you say, well, then I'm going to take the visibility. I'm going to take the influence. I'm going to accept the reputation that comes from being the nonprofit founder, visionary of this particular type of movement. And even if you have the best heart, that can still have a pull on you and pull you away from keeping the people that you are meant to serve the main thing.
Sure. We talked about exceeding the vision. That terminology is not a luxury, right? It's the reality of leading a nonprofit today. And it's also about staying rooted in a mission. And while you're always trying to reach higher for the people and the communities that we serve, and it's a balancing act for sure. It doesn't, like you said, and I said, it doesn't pay a lot, but you have to continuously be changing and evolving and learning. And it's just, it is a struggle and it is hard, but it is rewarding. And it is something that I think is very much needed. We had here in Southeast Texas, we have a homeless crisis. One thing I heard a local leader say on the news was that when they were asked how they were going to address the homeless crisis, is, well, we rely on our nonprofits for that. So nonprofits are tasked with dealing with major issues and challenges and things that exist in the community. And so I just think, like I said, the more these agencies and these organizations can work together to create programs and services to create a greater impact, the better off they're going to be instead of just in competition all the time.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a real opportunity to view partnership as not even just nonprofit to nonprofit, but nonprofit to local government, which would be one. And I think I have a nonprofit client that they've worked really hard over the last, I would say, 18 months to really strengthen their relationship with their local city government. And it's started to pay off, where they're getting to get some influence. And like you were saying, is they've created a visibility around some issues in their city that the government, just because they're tasked with everything, it wasn't highlighted for them until they had a relationship with this particular nonprofit. So even building those partnerships can create visibility in areas where people have influence that could help you. One thing that I don't see or hear a lot about, and I'd be curious your take on it, is collaborations and partnerships between nonprofits and for-profits.
Sure. I do a lot of, in fact, I was in Austin in February doing a talk about the idea of community-centric fundraising. Mm-hmm. And the whole principle behind, I've done this several times in several different arenas, the whole principle behind this is that nonprofits are often looked at as, we use that term charity in a way that's sometimes negative. And I encourage nonprofits to, when they communicate with for-profit agencies and corporations and businesses and even government entities, to frame it so that they understand that you make, as a nonprofit, a very significant contribution to the economy, right? Mm-hmm. And so therefore, instead of always asking for money and charity and donations, we want them to be our partners, because without the success of these nonprofits addressing unmet needs in the community, then the community or the area where your businesses are successful won't thrive, right? Because if, let's just say we have an economy that's riddled with homelessness and food insecurity, and we have no nonprofits that are there addressing these issues, then our businesses don't thrive in that economy because they're not utilizing our services. So we need our nonprofits to address these needs so that our businesses are successful.
Yeah, it's all one ecosystem.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That, and you did mention something that is interesting about going and finding, like showing the influence of nonprofits on like maybe a particular business or an industry's profitability or their customer base or even their employment base. You're a fundraising expert, so you probably know the stats and everything better than most. But I think a lot of people in nonprofit world look at for-profit businesses as, well, they're for-profit. They have the money. We need the money. They will feel good by giving us the money, and we will do good once we have their money. But I don't hear a lot about, hey, yes, they could give us some money or something like that, but how could we partner with them to serve? I don't hear that quite as much. And maybe that's a visibility thing on my part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what have you seen in terms of asking for corporate donations or versus corporate partnerships to where a donation may be a part of it, but it's not the main thing?
Right. So I encourage and one thing I do see very in my 15-year career in nonprofits is that if you're going to engage a corporation or a large business and ask them for a donation, engage with them in other ways. Allow them to volunteer. Ask them to volunteer. Ask them to serve on your committees. Ask them to serve, ask some of their members to serve on your board. So the donation shouldn't just be the end goal or the only option that they have. Because, again, we want them as our partners. We don't want donors that don't really care about our mission. You know, that because then they're not invested. The more involved they're in, and when I do trainings with our members, I say, again, don't let it just stop at the donation. Continue to include them in your newsletters. Make sure you're inviting them to your events. Again, if you have space on an event planning committee or a fundraising committee or on your board, include them in that as well. Because they have to feel like they are, you are a community organization and you want people in the community, especially those who are making an impact at your organization and making contributions. Sure. You want them to be a key player. We consider these people our stakeholders, right? And they can't be really true stakeholders if all they're doing is making a donation. So I encourage nonprofits to look at it that way. It's like we want to involve them in everything we do, because, again, if all they're doing is making a donation, then they don't really know the impact that they are contributing to.
Right. They're not connected to what it is that they did. It was transactional as opposed to a relational or an investment.
Yes.
Really. One thing that I'm cognizant of in the business community is, and I've had this happen on a smaller level, I'm a smaller business than like a corporation, is you get hit up a lot for, do you want to donate? Do you want to sponsor? We got this, we got that. And I think for the most part, there are a lot of organizations that are happy to do that. And you get your logo put in and so you get positive association. I love the get an opportunity to serve that we have a local hospital here that they have started. A friend of mine heads up like their charitable like volunteering, and they'll go to the food bank every so often and they'll take a whole team there and they get to learn about what's really happening in their community. And obviously food insecurity plays a role in healthcare, right? And so they're bridging the gap. But what can nonprofits do to support the businesses? I mean, obviously within their cause, there's a benefit, right? But you mentioned like the business people come and they volunteer and contribute and they serve on committees. What does it look like going the opposite direction for nonprofits to become somewhat involved in some beneficial manner with the businesses that they're partnering with?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the business. But I've seen insurance agencies, and you think about food service organizations, they always are able to partner and utilize their services, utilize their resources, partner in some way to host an event, or because I think that's something that I've really seen a lot in the nonprofit space is the event partnerships. Because let's just say you're like a beer company or something. When you partner to host this event and you're going to provide, that's advertisement for your event. For your company. Right. And I think that, there's a ton of ways. I think you have to be creative again. Like I said, we're always having to exceed our vision and figure out ways, but we have to think about ways that are going to be beneficial. And that's when we put together sponsorships and things like that. Well, we're always trying to think about ways the sponsorship can be beneficial to the sponsor too. And mm-hmm. I think the possibilities are endless, but I think like events and things like that, utilizing their services, promoting their services, especially if there's someone that, especially like local organizations, small businesses give back to charities and whatnot all the time. And just a simple thank you and a promotion gets them business that might take them into the next quarter. And I think that that's incredibly undervalued. I think that, again, the possibilities are endless with being able to support for-profit organizations. But too, as I said, the nonprofit sector alone being successful helps for-profit agencies because now they are existing in an economy that's thriving, which they need in order to be successful.
Right. Yeah. There's a symbiotic relationship. And it's I used to with my first company, which had a phoenix in it. So I'd always talk about keep rising. But I would also frequently tell people, look, a rising tide lifts all ships. And that's what I feel like I hear you saying is mm-hmm. that we really need to see this as let's lift the tide and let all the boats go up and benefit from it. And ultimately, it sounds like to exceed the vision, we don't need to go it alone.
Sure. Yeah, we can't. You can't. Yeah. Nonprofits, and we get a lot of people that want to start nonprofit organizations. That's something that we do. We help them with. And mm-hmm. First thing I tell them is you can't do it alone. Not just physically, but legally, you can't do it alone. And so many people they have this mindset, and it's difficult for them to wrap their head around, I have to have a board that governs how I do things and so on and so forth. Yeah. And you just can't do it alone. And so that's why we really promote collaboration and partnership, because it's not something that we encourage you to do alone anyway. And so the more people that can be involved, the better.
Right. And expanding that perception of collaboration is not just between you and the board or you and the individuals in your organization, but between organizations is sort of like, let's zoom out even more. And I think that that's a great encouragement and even a bit of a challenge to nonprofits, but I think really good things are on the other side of that. Let's say that there's a nonprofit leader listening to this and they're like, okay, I got you. Yeah. It's been a tough few months. And we're looking for that breakthrough. We believe we're in the right space and we understand the problem, all those things. This collaboration thing might just be the ticket. What could someone do in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to make progress towards a healthy and mutually beneficial collaboration in their community?
Well, it wouldn't cost any money to do research and discover another organization that might be in a similar space and to reach out to them and say, this is what we're doing. This is the impact that we've had and we're interested in collaborating. That would cost nothing.
Yeah, except it might create small terror if you're a highly introverted, but you know what? It's going to be, it's worth it. Do it for the kids. But I think that's a great piece of wisdom. Kayla, if people want to know more about you, more about the Development Center, where can they go? How can they connect?
You can visit our website at sctxnonprofit.org. When you get to our home screen, you'll see your face as you're the keynote speaker for our 2025 conference. And you can visit us on our social media at sctxnonprofit. Or email director at sctxnonprofit.org or give us a call at 409-832-6565.
Sounds like you've said that a few times. And then we also will have your LinkedIn on there as well. I'm really excited about this year's event. Again, if you're listening to this after, if you're listening to this in the year 2026 or beyond, just enjoy the conversation. But if you're listening to this prior to October 21st, 2025, go get your ticket, sign up. We got the link in the show notes. You can register right now. Go to the website, look at my face, hate it, and then sign up. Just like you can rage sign up. I would love to see you there. I've got a couple of friends who are also going to be presenting in some breakout sessions that have a ton of wisdom and information that will help you build your nonprofit and grow it this next year. And yeah, I would just love to see more people come together. And who knows, maybe you will find your collaboration partner at this event. Boom. No. How about that? We're going to have speed dating for I'm just kidding. That's next year. We'll start working.
We have a program that's very similar to that. and what it does is it pairs board members to students, and we do it speed dating style, and they go around and they meet each other, and then they're paired. So.
Okay. So we might actually, we have some. So if you want to get on the dating card for this event, then we'll have that. There will be more to find out there. But Kayla, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with me and sharing your wisdom and experience. I think this is really going to help a lot of people if they'll grab hold of what you were saying.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, thank you for spending part of your day. Hopefully we made your jog, your drive, your bike ride, mowing the lawn, I don't know, a little more enjoyable. And you learned a little something. We got you in the heart and the head. It's like, and now it's up to you to use your hands. See how I did all of that? That was cool. But please like, rate, review, subscribe, interact with the content. If you're getting value from it, that would mean a lot to me. Leave a comment. Let me know. Do you want more conversations about this? Do you have follow-up questions that you wish I would have asked? Do you wish somebody else was the host of this podcast? Whatever it is, just let me know your thoughts and what would be helpful for you, because I love doing this. But at the end of the day, I'm creating these conversations and this content to help you in your leadership journey. And by you interacting, it helps me help you. Help me help you. But it also helps get this content in front of other leaders just like you who are trying to take their next step in their journey. And that's a free and easy way to pay it forward. And that'll make you feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. And don't we all just want that? But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead.